Driving it home with Patty Vasquez, Patty Vasquez.
From global conflicts to greenhouse gases, the folks refusing to wear masks says, and politicians getting caught grabbing ass says, she's driving it home with Patty Vasquez.
Hello, hello. Happy Thursday, everyone. Hope that you're happy, healthy, and safe wherever you are today. You are listening to Driving It Home, and I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. We've got Lady B in our control room, so when you call 773-763-WCPT, it'll be her lovely voice you hear on the other end of the line. She keeps this show going and makes us dazzle, really. I hope we're dazzling. She makes me feel dazzling. She came in, she goes, you're good, because she had set everything up. I'm like, it's because she makes me good. So 773-763-9278, that's the number to call or text us during the show. And, I understand if you prefer texting. A lot of folks join the conversation, and I can see. I don't know what this. There's a. Somebody texted a picture of a pie, and I must have missed something during Joan's show, but there's a picture of a Sweet Thang pie for $15, and I must have missed that conversation. They just wrote, OMG, OMG, I have to get this, and I need to know more about that. But it reminds me, actually, that we have an incredible bakery. We have a lot of great bakeries on the Northwest side. There's one of my favorite joints is Fanny's over on Milwaukee Avenue near Irving Park Road by the Six Corners. And she posted today that she is going to be drawing down some of her menu items. She's having, she's trying to manage all of the supply chains and prices and things like that. She has some of the greatest scones and cookies. She's got, she makes made-to-order cakes and pies, cupcakes. So if you have a special event coming up, you got to order. Oh, her pies are ridiculous. So that's Fanny's, Fanny's on Milwaukee Avenue. You can find them, Google them, and look at her Facebook page. Follow all of the great specials. She's always posting great photos of her items, and she's got great coffee too. Just one of those great neighborhood coffee joints. We've got several of those. We have Fanny's, we've got Weston's and Percolator, all on the Northwest side. And hey, I don't want to brag just about my neighborhood. We're talking about Fanny's in part because I really want to support small businesses like hers. I don't order out as much in the last few months as I had during the height of the pandemic. We were ordering out as much food as we could, and I put on my COVID-19, I guess, and I'm trying to work some of that off, so I've been cooking more at home and still trying to do the best I can to support some of the great small business owners that we have on the Northwest side. So if you have one, if you have a small business in a community that maybe we're not familiar with that business, or you just want to, toot your own horn or toot the whole horn of your favorite joint, don't hesitate to ever call. You can call right now, 773-763-WCPT, and say, hey, we've got this great joint on the south side in our neighborhood that you need to know about if you happen to be driving through, or make a special trip to some of those neighborhood places that we want to make sure we support. We had our friends from North Branch Chicken on the other day. They are so good. I shouldn't start talking about it again because my mouth starts watering. I also want to say, hey, everybody on Facebook Live. You could also watch this show streaming live on the WCPT 820 Facebook page. So go on over there and you can watch the show or listen, have it out in the background. And you could also type some comments there. Thank you. If you like, thank you, Karen. Is that Karen? I have to read it. Karen says thank you. She says she loves my hat. It says, by the way, if you're tuning in and watching, it does not say anything vulgar. It says, go fact yourself is what it says. F-A-C-T, fact yourself. I was thinking about this as I put my hat on. And also I threw on my Rep Shy Chicago / St. Patrick. Like, it's got a Irish flag. It's got the Irish colors. I've got because I was listening to Joan's guest and I was like, yeah, I'm going to throw on my Rep Shy Irish flag shirt, Chicago flag shirt, because their whole theme there is put a flag on it. But I was thinking about it as I put this hat on. We had a caller the other day during our discussion about Haiti. We've been talking about that for a lot of our shows this week, about that horrifying situation going down in Texas and the Mexican border with over 12, they're saying between 12 and 15,000 people who are seeking refuge in the United States. But a listener called to correct me on something. And here's the thing, and this is really what I believe what makes somebody a progressive. Like, you can think of all the, I remember somebody the other day called me and said, oh, I thought you were more like me. No, you're one of those woke progressives. And I saw, I mean, it's such a dismissiveness. And I understand that when we're having these arguments, sometimes we get dismissive and we just disregard somebody else's point of view just because they don't have, they're not aligned with us politically. And we start getting snarky and condescending. And I am also guilty of that in certain situations when I get frustrated. But progressive can mean a wide range of things. But for me, what it means is that based on information, whether it's experience or facts, I am willing to change my, these are opinions. Everything that we're sharing, all of it, what we are talking about here are opinions. Unless I have an expert on who has a doctorate in something, has spent their life researching it. Those are some of the experts that it's not me. And I'm willing to change my opinion and say either that I'm wrong or I hadn't thought of it that way. And that's what it means to be progressive. This is, you know, people in the Republican Party want to cling to Abraham Lincoln and say that he's one of theirs. Only he was a progressive. He was constantly evolving his opinion and what he believed in. And he stuck to that and was committed to making sure that black people were free. He did not believe in slavery. And we, you know, people are like, well, he was racist or yeah, there might have been things that he said that when we read it, we go, oh, that's horrible. But he continued to change his opinion based on new information and experiences. And I don't know about you, but that's what it means for me to be a progressive. And yes, it means that I am pro-choice. I do believe that we are on the cliff of disaster in our climate when it comes to just completely allowing so much to run rampant. We have not, we've known for decades that this was a problem. And we've allowed other people to manipulate the conversation and again, be dismissive, you know, and call it, you know, call progressives snowflakes and buttercup and, you know, the environment's fine and global warming's a lie. And oh, every time it's cold out, they're like, oh, where's your global warming now? Because you don't want to read science. You don't want to read about all, what all the thousands of researchers are saying is leading to this. And you know what? Fine. If you don't want to believe in climate change, then at least see that what's going on globally, where people are vulnerable to what's going on in nature, with tornadoes and hurricanes causing floods. We need to do something in order to make sure those who are vulnerable are safe. And we have to change, whether it's building the infrastructure or being prepared, putting our resources. I always think of people who point to Florida as somehow, and I don't know how anybody can point to Florida as some sort of beacon in the night when it comes to not having certain types of taxes. And I think they don't have an income tax. They have a huge one. They have a huge tourism industry. Their revenue stream is different than places like Illinois. And the other thing is they're a state that draws a lot of federal funding because they are so vulnerable to natural disasters. So we are supporting them. They may not, that comes from us. We are one of the biggest, Illinois is one of the biggest donor states in the Midwest for sure. Meaning that for every dollar we put in federally in taxes, we are not getting that money back. That's going to other states around us. So I've gone in all different directions, whether it's taxes, climate change, being pro-choice. But these are some of the things that we talk about, and that's my perspective. And if you have a different opinion, obviously you can tell when I have conversations with folks on the phone that I'm willing to talk to anybody. But, you know, if somebody wants, I always am fascinated when someone calls in for one thing and the next thing you know, we're talking about 10 different topics. And I get that. I've just done that in the last 3-4 minutes. But when you're calling to challenge one thing, I do hope that we stay on topic with that, or at least tell me, well, OK, fine, I'm going to change the topic rather than try to swing this bat and beat down whatever opinion that I might have. So I ask for some sort of at least some linear your thought, even though I might not be able to deliver that myself. Just when we're having conversations on the air, it just helps with that particular topic that you're calling on. So I am also, I was listening to all the news breaks, and there was, I think it was during Joan's show where they were talking about how the 400 richest people in the country only paid 8% in taxes. How are we? We had this conversation earlier in the week with a listener that we can't tax the rich, or that it's because they have passive income and there's no access to that. And I'm like, you know what? Let's find a way to change that, because again, this is not sustainable. The middle class cannot afford to prop up all of the billionaires, all of their companies. You know, there's a reason why they call it human resources. We are the reason. We are the people are the resource that they need working in jobs at lower wages while people have these incredible, whether it's salaries or stock options. You know, the reason they're only paying 8% in taxes is because the more you make, the easier it is to hold on to that money, to hire lawyers, to hire accountants, to shuttle that money away someplace where it can't be touched. I always wonder, how much is enough? How much do you have to have? And we see, like, you know, some of these billionaires giving away billions of dollars, and none of that. I get it. I'm grateful for the philanthropic nature of a lot of it. But if there were a way to make that codified so that we could support a lot of the people who need it the most, it would definitely go a long way to secure a middle class that can stay in their homes, have access to health care, so their kids can go to school, so that their streets are safe. These are the things that we aspire to. Let's take a break here. You're listening to Driving It Home with Patty Vasquez, WCPT 820. And again, give us a call. This is your conversation, 773-763-WCPT. That's 773-763-9278. You can call or text us to that number. You know, we prefer that you call. As Santita Jackson says, we'd love to hear your lovely voices.
Mind over matters.
Dr. Amy Harris Nguyen, as you know, this show is about challenging you to think differently, to make different choices in your life, to take action, to create positive outcomes in your life. So I want to challenge you to look at your life holistically, to where am I satisfied, what areas need attention, and then go to work, take an action what you need to do.
Mind over matters with Dr. Amy Harris Nguyen, Sundays at 10 a.m. on WCPT 820.
I just thought I'd push one of the music buttons I didn't recognize, and that's one of the music buttons on my board right now. So just like pressing the button sometimes to see what they do. Because I've got a lot of Steve Goody songs. I'm about to ask Steve to get me a few more. I love his tunes, and a lot of them are musical satire. And I actually am going to be online tonight. You can go to virtualcomedyshow.com, and we have a comedy show every Thursday night at 8 p.m. And that's, again, that's on virtualcomedyshow.com. It's we've been doing it since I've been on there since I think last July or so. Brad Tassel and Steve Goody started this virtual comedy show in April, right after the lockdown. They both were touring comedians. Brad was he's back on the ships. He's a comedian who performs on cruise lines. I've never performed on a cruise line, but I've been back in comedy clubs. I just got back last, as you know, I was in Indianapolis performing at Crackers Comedy Club, and this week I will be in the Wisconsin Dells performing at the Palace Theater in the Dells. So if you happen to be in the Wisconsin area, I will be performing on Saturday night, and you can go to my Facebook page to learn more about that, the Patty V Show page. Also, I don't mention this enough, I have a Friday night online show called Whiskey and a Cookie that I've been doing during the pandemic as well. I have several of my friends. We do it on Zoom, on Facebook Live, again, on Patty V Show page. We have Elliot Serrano, Adam Selzer, Esmeralda Leon, and Scott Stantis. And we talk about all the hot topics in the news with a delicious cookie treat and a beverage of everyone's choice. And booze is not required. It's just more of a state of mind. It's a concept I thought of a couple of years ago. My friend Elliot and I actually came up with it a couple of years ago. We were at a great therapeutic horseback riding facility called Equestrian Connection. We were helping raise money with them, and there was a girl. We were standing at the bar. We each had a glass of whiskey in our hand, and this girl came around, one of the kids that was helping raise money, and she had a basket of cookies. And we were standing there, and it was one of those aha moments, like, we had a cookie and we had a glass of whiskey and we were like, this is amazing together. And we were just so pleased with the concept that how it made us feel that we decided that was the best way for us to talk about politics on Friday nights. So that's what we started doing virtually during the pandemic and continue to do it every Friday night. Scott Stantis is our resident Republican who has been really conflicted over what party he's in. He has been a never Trumper since the beginning, and he just cannot be become a Democrat. And I wonder how much, like, he seems to be taking that so personally that he doesn't have a party. And I guess I just, I mean, I guess I could see being that disillusioned by your party, especially when there are so many Republicans that refuse to denounce the President Trump. They refuse to accept that that Joe Biden won the election. Just the whole list of things that. Some folks are going through the motions of, well, you know, whether it's the Republicans who want to be reelected, they're afraid of angering Trump's base because, one, we know that some of them are dangerous, and because of the money, they want to raise money, and that's where a lot of folks are giving over all of their money and continue to support Donald Trump, continue to keep spreading the lie that that Trump won the election, and it's for Scott. He's been very conflicted over the last several years. We try to give him a little bit of therapy on Friday nights sometimes. But do you feel like your party is your identity? Because I mean, obviously, I have conversations every day, and I have my perspective, my point of view, that I bring to these conversations, and I am a progressive. I guess as some conservatives would mockingly say, a woke. I've kind of always been aware that there are injustices. I guess being woke means that you're aware that you need to keep fighting injustice, that you need to show up for other people when they are vulnerable or they are under attack by those, whether it's based on the color of their skin or their sexuality or their gender, all of those things. Yeah, I've known that for a long time. I've known that the world is not a fair place. And if we don't do anything, that those who have power or those who have bigger numbers will overwhelm people who don't have the ability to stand up to them in whatever way that is. And that's been a part of who I am. I think it partly comes from my dad, even though my dad would say really off the wall, offensive things at his core. My dad always stood up for people when it mattered the most. My mother always demands respect for herself and for others. And I guess that's part of where I come from. And that's my perspective on things. And watching some of these images this week from Del Rio, I think I've mentioned every single day that Ciudad Acuña, which is the Mexican town on the other side of the river, is my mother's hometown. She was born there. She grew up there. And then her mother, in order to pursue her career, she was a widow. She left my mother and my aunt in an orphanage. And in order to be able to pursue, to support them, she left them in an orphanage so she could complete her nursing degree. And my grandmother was also an actress in Mexico City. She was known for some of their laundry detergent commercials. So when I decided to become a comedian and an actress and a talk show host, my mom was like, of course you are. It's genetic. But that's one of the things that's captivated me is watching this town that my mother is from in Mexico, where they don't have a lot of resources. It's a very small town. The people who are there trying to get a passage across the river, it's increased their population by about 42%. And folks have been asking, well, how did they get there? Where are they all coming from? Who's paying for that? So I did a little bit of research today. And again, I am not as informed as I should be on everything. I know a little bit about a bunch of things, but you'll find out along the way when I'm talking, when I know a lot about one thing. It seems as though there was a misunderstanding that spread very quickly. President Trump earlier this year had extended protections for Haitian immigrants, but it was for Haitian immigrants that were already here. And so that got lost along the way in messaging. And a lot of it was on WhatsApp and social media. There were family members that were wiring money to relatives after the earthquake, after the assassination of their president. So there was this massive amount of social media information going back and forth for Haitians who were living in Brazil, some who had not come straight from Haiti, who were and they were encouraging others to go to the American border based on half information. And that's what it sounds like really spurred that movement. And now, sadly, people who are just trying to say to again, to protect themselves, to survive, to bring their family someplace safe, and then to be chased by, I guess, cowboys on horses with whips. And there are people who are outraged, and rightly so. So that's I know that's been a lot of the conversation this week as we watch so many of those, but the images and the discussions and debates over it. Judy, what's on your mind, Judy and Niles?
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
I was just thinking about what you were saying, but I have cousins who are Republicans, and it makes for a lot of, you know, strange conversations. And we happen to have four cottages in a row in Wisconsin. As a matter of fact, not too far from the Dells, about 20 miles north and east. Anyway, a couple of years ago, my cousin Bruce lives now in Florida. I say why, but he doesn't like taxes, and I think that's their...
Yeah.
And I think maybe I should some days just sit him down and say, okay, what is your big thing? Why are you... I mean, because our grandfather and the rest of them were always much more liberal. I mean, we split our tickets and we did all those things in the old days. But he told me, we were walking up the hill and he had this very serious look on his face. He said, I think I may have ruined my ticket. He said, I can't vote for Hillary.
Oh.
I really don't like her. And he said, but I couldn't vote for Trump either. So I left it blank, and I said, do you think they'll count it? And I said, I don't know.
They did. That in that election, I remember there were a lot of people, and even I remember one night talking to somebody in Michigan. They had the same dilemma. They couldn't vote for either one, and they left that blank. And looking back at it, I wish I had encouraged people to make a choice, because in Michigan there were about 20,000 ballots where somebody had left the top of the ballot empty, and that was about how much she lost Michigan by. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that Michigan had a strange thing. I didn't know that was the reason.
That was part of it. Although, I mean, the whole 20,000, obviously, most likely not going to all.
I don't know if every state does that or not.
Right. I don't know. We'll have to find out.
I'm not up on any other state. I'm not a lawyer here either.
So. Judy, do you have any, do any of your relatives live near the Dells? Or, I mean, I don't want to tell them to come see my show this weekend.
One of them used to live in Janesville, but they too moved to Florida.
Oh, they did? They moved to Florida?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
They live in Naples. The one sister, at least, does. They have quite a lot of money, and deservedly so. They worked very hard for it.
There you go.
Her husband inherited his father's job, and they worked their tails off, and if it hadn't been for her being... who she is and how good she is at handling things herself. In fact, she used to anger her neighbors because they had very nice houses. I think they lived near Peyton at one point. But Debbie would get on the tractor and cut her own lawn, you know, and I can just see the women looking out the window and saying, their husband saying, look, Debbie cut them out. They're lovely people and deserve it, but...
Is Florida everything?
Like,
what was that?
Yeah, they act like they don't owe anybody else. They did it themselves, and they did a lot themselves. I'm not take that away from them.
Sure.
But like they always said, you're driving there on a road that a lot of people built.
Exactly.
And you have to thank a lot of teachers and a lot of people who donated to your school or whatever.
Sure. I agree. Oh, thank you. Judy, it was so good to hear from you again. And have you talked to your son about having an edible with him again?
No, I haven't. I talked to him, and I said, you know, if she's ever around, well, maybe we could go see Patty. And he said, yep, I'll go with you.
Excellent. All right, I'll try to get a show booked on the north part of Chicago or in the northern suburbs, so you don't have to go too far, okay?
Don't make it too late. I am not one of those people.
Fair enough.
My son is, because he's more of a musician. He plays a lot, and when he was younger, he played a lot. So.
Oh, there you go.
But he's kind of a night owl.
Oh,
not me.
We'll figure it out.
Yes, we'd love to see you.
Excellent. Thank you, Judy. Have a lovely rest of your evening, okay?
You too. Thank you.
Of course. I'll talk to you soon. Let's take a break here when we come back. I know we've got the phone lines lighting up. 773-763-9278. That's 773-763-WCPT. More after this.
Joan Esposito, live, local, and progressive on WCPT Willow Springs is powered by ComEd. Lower your energy bills and reduce your carbon footprint with the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program.
This is WCPT 820, where facts matter.
My friend Marty, he wants to split the party. He wants blue folks in red states to vote green. can see his point, though I really gotta say, no, we can't have another 2016. It seems nothing beats orange, nothing even freaking rhymes with it. What's a battered nation supposed to do? His Royal Orange Highness, he does love to divide us. We've gotta stick together and vote blue. When I recycle, I'm green, green as green can be. I do my level best, yes, it's true. But when I'm voting in November, I promise to remember it's us against him. Gotta vote blue.
Gotta vote blue. And there's a lot of conversations we need to have about elections going on, not just in the state of Illinois, but across the Midwest, in particular places like Wisconsin, where I think that it's flippable. I think it's flippable. I'm just saying. I want to thank my neighbor, Merrill, who two things. One, wanted us to know about Code Red Climate, Code Red, hashtag Code Red Climate, hashtag Code Red Congress. And let's insist Congress protect us from the climate crisis. You can fill it out and let legislators know that they must act on our crisis that we are in the middle of right now. Two, she reminded me that we have our Jefferson Park Sunday Market coming up this Sunday. That is September 26th. We open at 9:30 a.m. at the Irish American Heritage Center. We will be there until 1:30. You've got so much great produce from farms within the drivable area. You got 6G's Farm and Los Rodriguez Farms will be there. They've got incredible produce. And I know Rodriguez Farms has great fresh cut flowers, and they have this tomato jam. I see this is what happens when I come on here and I start talking about food. I start getting hungry. She's got so many great items for Los Rodriguez Farms, 6G's Farm. We also have our friends. We have Fanny's, who I mentioned just a little bit ago. You can stop by, grab your coffee from Percolator, get your scone from Fanny's. We've got so many great folks. We have Magic Crepes. We've got our Tamale Express friends. It's a wonderful way to hang out with neighbors and support local businesses, have some fresh food. Oh, Finn's Farms. I'm going to forget somebody, Merrill, so post it in the thread so that I get everybody on there, or copy and paste. You can go to Jefferson Park Sunday Market Facebook page and find out more. Again, that's at the Irish American Heritage Center over here on the northwest side. Plus, the building is open and the Fifth Province Pub is open, so you can have a Bloody Mary, or you can get a mimosa, or, you know, just some soda, or a Lake Effect Brew. They've got one. That's our Northwest Side Brewery, and they've got the Fifth Province Pub brew available. So stop by, say hi to me. I'll be at the tent on your way in, and I'll be there with all my friends like Merrill and Maggie May, welcoming you to the Sunday Farmers Market. We have Howard on the line, who's been waiting patiently through the break and my spiel about my favorite market on the Northwest Side. So thank you, Howard, for hanging on there. What's on your mind?
Well, I'll tell you what really puzzles and bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
Is that everybody's so concerned that these horses chase these people that are running. You know, they're criminals coming into the country illegally. They should stop. And, like, just like in Chicago, those two boys had a gun. The police ran them and shot them. Now, it was a terrible thing. These young people lost their life. But this running from the authorities and just thinking you can do anything you please is what's wrong with our whole country.
They're not criminals. They're human beings. You're just saying that children who are trying to get across, those are also criminals. Those are some of the people that were underfoot of those horses and could have been stomped by their hooves. I mean, that's just a minor way of saying that. They're human beings seeking refuge. I get it. You're saying that they didn't come here illegally, and people want to call human beings illegal all the time. They are human beings. Bottom line.
They are human. But the bottom line is they have no respect for law or authority. Now, if they wanted to come here for asylum, when they get caught, stop running, stop fighting, and just say, hey, I'm here because I'm leaving a bad country. I need to support my family. But when you run, somebody's got to chase you.
No, they don't.
They're not supposed to be there.
So anybody who runs needs to be chased. Well, I appreciate that you called and put that out there, that if you run, you got to be chased, Lady B. There's no running without being chased, just so we all know. I didn't swear right. Thank you, Howard. I think Roosevelt's on the line too. Let me get Roosevelt. See, I told you I would talk to everybody. Roosevelt, if you run, you're gonna get chased. You have to be chased, Roosevelt. Just so you know.
Yeah, just like on this station, I heard the the reason why Mr. Floyd got killed was because he was resisting arrest.
Exactly.
However,
that's executionable, just so you know. Go ahead.
However, the people that had a picnic over there on January 6th at the Capitol with the Southern flag, by the way, flag, the war that they lost, that was okay. That was okay. And notice, there was no horses. There's nobody on horseback trying to round them up, you know. But they're not criminals. As a matter of fact, they had a get-together, a little barbecue just this past weekend. So that's okay.
Well, I didn't have a chance to ask Howard if he was as outraged. I guess it's a little bit of what about this?
Yeah, that's the problem. That's the problem with these people that call in. They don't balance it. They don't balance the conversation. They should bring up January 6th, and maybe, just maybe, they'll divulge who they stand by and why these people are being judged like he was judging those people. And but I don't want to talk about that. I wanted to talk about the fact that how the lies being spread. Now, I'm going to ask you what the rules are. Am I allowed to mention a reporter from Chicago and what happened on August 25th, the governor and his press secretary in a press conference over school openings and the mask mandate?
If you want to say Amy Jacobson, you can.
Absolutely. and I suggest you're, including the last gentleman that spoke, I suggest you guys look it up on YouTube. It's free. But I read it on Business Insider, and she was trying to derail the governor and saying she was worried about the people with the mask because masks caused all this. Now, I'm adding to it, I'll admit, but that's exactly what she went. She went in there with an agenda to derail, such as what is going on in Florida, such as what's going on in Texas. You know, these people, and my question to you, I mean, especially Amy Jacobson, knowing how she was fired and she called herself a conservative. And you know what? People are going to say, well, you're talking about her because she's not on the line. I've been on her show.
Are you listening to other hosts?
No, you know what? I'm not afraid of anybody.
I understand.
I'm not afraid of anybody. I've been on their show, and that idiot that's her co-host, he called me a goofball, and he called me every name in the book because I was telling him the truth, and he didn't like it. But getting back to Amy Jacobson, my question to you, even if, you know, I know you're a woman and you're a reporter, you understand stuff. I mean, why would you lie about something that causes? Because the reason why I'm bringing this question is because my ma always says, what's wrong with these people? They're causing people to get sick. They're calling these people to just for a paycheck. I said, you got it, Ma, because she doesn't understand why people do this. Because what Amy Jacobson and other people are doing by spreading the lie, you're causing people to get sick.
Yes.
Just like the governor of Texas, the governor of Florida. And correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, when you put doubt in people, and just today, Jonas DeVito, I don't know if you were listening, a bride-to-be, 29 years old, she bought the lie, and she got COVID, and she died because she believed that she wasn't going to have children because of the vaccine.
Yep.
So I don't know. I said a lot, and I'm sorry.
No, you didn't. You're fine. I don't know what it's like to be that deeply attached I remember when I used to host on another radio show, I would get a lot of conservatives would call and say, you just have a liberal agenda. And we used to joke because I would spend because we were on just like we are now live streaming. So I would pretend to look for the agenda because I don't have a copy of that. But to your point, it does seem like some folks like Amy do come in with an agenda without, you know, look, if I went in and was in a press conference with a conservative elected, I probably would have that sort of slant. All my questions would be very pointed and have an agenda. But she clearly doesn't come in there as a journalist. Journalists, it's the who, what, where, and why, right? You can, anyway, you can ask the why, but when you're doing it with that sort of a slant and not ever relenting, you know, with being able to absorb facts and information, that's what I was saying. To be progressive to me is to take information based on facts and be able to adjust accordingly and build your opinion that way rather than my opinion, no matter what other information I'm exposed to, I will never change. And that seems to be all the way to some folks to their last dying breath that they will cling to those lies. It's hard. It's hard to watch, isn't it?
Yeah, it is hard. And it's funny you mentioned Mexico. And to me, one of the first things that came to my mind when I saw that the Haitian people being rounded up by men on horseback, it reminded me of my own history from Mexico. The Spaniards did the same thing, except instead of lassos, and they had swords, and they cut their heads off in the name of religion.
Right.
And that's the
crusades.
There's a bloody history in Mexico because of the people that came from Europe, and they came with the blessing of the Catholic Church.
Right.
And that is the history.
And that goes back to the people who are seeking refuge and safety are not, they're not criminal. I get it.
No,
we have laws. They're humans.
No, they're not.
If you're Christian, you should see people who are living under a bridge and go, what can we do? I've mentioned, this comes back to the 400 wealthiest people only being taxed at 8%. There is money. It's out there. We're not able to use money and have access to it in order to support those who need it most in our culture, in our society, on our planet. We are allowing people to hoard money and continue to buy their. I would rather pay for college tuitions and watch a billionaire go into space. And I get he can do whatever he wants, but at least let's have some priorities involved here. Roosevelt, I do have to say this. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Thanks.
Happy birthday, dear Roosevelt. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you very much, Patty. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining our conversation, Roosevelt. Have a great celebration today, okay?
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Let's take a break here. When we come back, we'll hear from Dave in Hoffman Estates and Stephanie in Kankakee. That's 773-763-WCPT to join our conversation anytime. And watch our live stream. Thank you, Meryl, for sharing the link to our Jefferson Park Sunday Market as well. Love to see everybody out on Sunday morning starting around 9:30 all the way to 1:30. Joyce, it's going to be a great weekend. It's autumnal now. Ooh, I forgot to ask if we're doing that doggy Halloween costume, Meryl. We're doing a production meeting right now. More after this.
So we're using this word progressive and progressive Christianity. There's a lot of ways we might define that term. And some of the ways that spring to my mind is sometimes people mean a more traditional style of articulation of the faith, but with a very progressive political actuality along with it. Others want to redefine some of the basic tenets of the faith, like the divinity of Christ or the Trinity.
Things Not Seen with David Dalt, Sunday mornings at 6 on WCPT 820.
2021, followers of Trump and something called QAnon attempted a coup at the United States Capitol. Who are these people?
I want to live with the QAnon girl. I could be happy the rest of my life with a QAnon girl.
Thought I'd play that for Roosevelt. Touch on a couple of subjects, including a QAnon girl. I don't know. Is Amy Jacobson all QAnon, or is it? I don't know. I don't listen enough. I know that at first the governor tried to have her excluded from press conferences, and there was so much pushback. She is a member of the media. It would be the same as having me there as a commentator. I often had this conversation with people that I at my previous employment. I kind of do straddle this weird line of being a broadcaster. I do report on things that are going on, in particular on politics at the local level, city and state. But I'm also, I have an opinion. And so I report back to you. We have these conversations. I observe what's going on from the press box whenever I can. But I don't know about injecting myself into a press conference. That's something that I've always hesitated to do. I've gone to press conferences. I just allow the journalists who are going to write the stories of the who, what, where, and why. And not always why, but sometimes. We have Dave from Hoffman Estates joining our conversation. Hey, Dave, what's on your mind?
Hey, you remembered the name. Hey, this week, we haven't covered it. The week of September 20th through the 26th is the remembrance of the Gold Star Families Week.
Oh, it is. I'm sorry. I did not know that. Thank you for telling us.
And they've started that. It was about since 2018. We've been trying to honor them, you know, and I just, you know, it needs to get out there. You know, that these, you know, like they say, they got Memorial Day, which focuses on the sacrifice on who died serving their country. This focuses on the sacrifices of the military families who have lost a loved one. And it's important to love and honor and all those that got left behind, you know, and some people don't even know what a Gold Star family is, you know.
Right.
So, and like the founder of this one outfit that, you know, kind of brought up the story said, we didn't serve, we didn't wear the uniform, but we did give up so much.
Yes.
And it's special and very important that it's acknowledged so that other people can start to understand the hero existed and lived and was loved by family who is now without their hero, just to know we're thought of and remembered. And I think that, you know, that needs to be out there.
I also just saw, and so here, I'll read some of the, here's the background and some of the resolution. The Gold Star Families Remembrance Week resolution recognizes the loss and sacrifices of families in support of fallen members of the armed forces, as well as veterans. It encourages Americans to perform acts of community service and goodwill to honor these families. Commemoration of Gold Star Families Remembrance Week serves as a build up to Gold Star Mother's Day, which has been observed by presidential proclamation since 1936 on the last Sunday of September. Dave, I want to thank you so much for enlightening me. I was not aware of this, and I think a lot of people were not aware.
No, I know. That's the trouble. You know, that's the trouble. You know, everybody says, you know, even like with the 9/11 or whatever, we'll always remember. Want to bet how many people without looking on Google know what happened on December 7, 1941?
You know? Pearl Harbor, right.
So, before I get off, we were talking about Eleanor Roosevelt, you know?
Yesterday, yes, we were.
Yep. Why don't they make a forever stand for her?
I don't.
They really should honor that woman, you know.
Absolutely. I don't know that there isn't one, but now I want one. You've put it out there. We've put it out into the universe.
I don't know who. I see some other dumb stuff for, you know, forever stamps, you know.
Yeah, some folks
and
do.
Like I say, for what she did, you know, all of the stuff she did. So
I agree.
And, like you found that that she had a statue. You know, they need to do more because, like I say, she was almost like the first president woman. The way she stood in for Franklin on many occasions when he couldn't make it, you know. So anyway, you got to get to the other. So let me get off.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much, Dave. I appreciate the conversation with you always. And then I want to thank Stephanie for holding on patiently. Hi, Stephanie. How are you doing?
I'm doing good on this crisp fall day.
Yes, I love fall. What's on your mind?
Yes, what's on my mind was weak leadership. A good leader will know how to understand what's going on. We have a horrible worker shortage in this country.
Mm-hmm.
We have people coming here who want to work.
Right.
But we want to vilify them as criminals because they want jobs that we can't deal with Americans right at the moment. So my solution would be to, if you have to, I mean, you think about it, in the 1800s and 1700s, when the Europeans came, they were given a chance to cross the border, state their cases, stay here until they made their cases. They weren't thrown back on a boat and say, hey, take back to Europe. So when people say, my grandmother came over here and did it the right way, yes, she was given a chance to do that.
Right.
They were given a chance to do it right. It didn't cost $1 million, which is what it costs if you don't have no money. You know, $100,000 is like $1 million.
Yeah.
So my thing would be, if you bring them little by little, if you have to put leg braces on them.
Oh.
Give them a month, just Yes, a month worth, so we can keep up with. I'm just saying, people want to say, you got to keep up with. Okay, fine.
Wow.
And give them a month worth of rent, okay? And then they got to pay next month's rent. If they don't keep working, we ship them back. If they do keep working, we give them a chance to make their path to citizenship and to fill some of it. We got people, school districts, paying parents to drive their kids to school because they don't have bus drivers.
Yeah, oh, we can't.
So while we're, so,
yep. I don't know if I'm
so
comfortable.
We're so busy.
Yep, go ahead.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying they need to drive our kids. I'm just saying how desperate our job situation is over here, filling jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So, at certain jobs that they can get, we need to find a way to work with them and to get them safe and give them an easier path than what they, you know, what we have now. The path is ridiculous to get to citizenship now. It's virtually impossible. So give them green cards. Keep up with them. Have social workers to call their houses once a week. Whatever we have to do to work with them, instead of trying, there's zero tolerance for everything in this country is crazy. It's got us handcuffing 5-year-olds who have a meltdown in school. We have zero tolerance against this in school. So zero tolerance is evil in a lot of ways because there are many reasons why people do what they do.
Right. I agree with that.
My thing is, let's try to see what we can do. Let's not try to vilify everybody who runs from the cops because some people are scared.
Yes.
I mean, Jesus, you know, so and let's not vilify everybody who's trying to get into the country because they're not criminals. They have families. They want to feed them.
Right.
Let's not vilify people who don't look like us, who don't live like us, who don't eat what we eat. Stop it. Get together and try to see what we can do, how to work with it. Get new jobs of liaisons to work between cultures, liaisons to pull people together, liaisons to work with getting some of these people in jobs that they can get in, you know. Farmers have lost millions of in crops because we have nobody, you know, to deal with it. We just need to regulate it, watch it, and make sure that it works. But stop vilifying each other. We are all human beings. We're all God's children. And the Bible says how to treat our aliens. As one of our brothers.
Exactly. That part, exactly. That's, I never understand the sort of cherry picking of Christian values when it comes to different things. And this one is pretty prominent in the Bible of treating other people as you would want to be treated and welcoming people and helping them that, and that being wealthy is not a Christian goal, that I don't know how forgiving I am to people who aren't forgiving. I'm intolerant of intolerance, Lady B. Stephanie, I am so grateful for your passion. Some of those things, I'm not sure about tracking people with an ankle device, but I get where you're coming from because we do need some way to be able to hold people accountable if we make a safer and easier passage to to citizenship, right?
That was just a suggestion.
Yeah,
I don't know, but
you and I should work on solutions. I like it, Stephanie.
Have a great
rest of your day. See, we're problem solvers on this show. 773-763-9278. We got a couple minutes left here. And I am the daughter of an immigrant. My mother came here in 1968. She came here because she was divorced in Mexico. That was not a tenable situation to be a woman with children divorced. It was very hard to progress professionally. And she actually had been working for a pharmaceutical company trying to teach women about birth control and the pill. And she would drive through these towns in the mountains in her Volkswagen Beetle. Mommy, I hope I'm telling this story well. Because every time I come home, Mom will be waiting for me sometimes when I tell a story. She's like, that's not what happened. So my understanding of my mother's story is that she wanted to get a better job. And one of the ways that she felt she could do that was coming to the United States to learn English. She was going to immerse herself in the culture, live in an area where she was compelled to speak English, not rely on living in a Spanish-speaking community, work a job that forced her to be able to speak Spanish. But her very first day in the country, she got into a cab. I've told this story on the air before. It's one of my favorite stories. I'm sorry, everyone. My father was her cab driver her very first day in the country because she had chosen not to catch a bus, but instead to catch a cab. And they have a very tumultuous relationship. I have a joke that my parents were in love with each other, just never at the same time. And my mother, they actually were kind of on and off a little bit. And then when she told him that her green card was going to expire, she wanted to be able to bring her kids here. My brother Jesus, who was very young, he was only 11, and she wanted to bring him here, and she needed to get married. And my joke about that, it was always, marry me or this goes. But I she came here, and I guess, you know, people want to say, well, at least she did it the right way. She married my dad. And not all the people who come here seeking a better life can meet my dad in their cab. I mean, it's just not that easy for everybody. And it wasn't easy for my mom. She worked very hard. She became a computer programmer for the federal government and worked on Y2K and owns a building that I live in. She is my landlord, and she's done very well, and that's a lot of sheer will on her part. She is my rock, and I should go. She'll be like Patricia Duarte. Okay, see you all tomorrow. Thank you, Lady B. Thank you, everyone here at WCPT, and thanks for tuning in on our live stream, everyone. Take care.